really amount to a drop in the bucket. I don't want to get into a lot into the issue. It's such a difficult issue. And as I say, people on both sides have such strong viewpoints that it's really difficult to feel you can find a way to bring some point of conversation together to make for meaningful change. All we can really hope for is that the conflict there settles down. And that's perhaps it. I personally, I don't see how whatever's going on there now is going to at some point lead to a real and lasting peaceful resolution to that conflict. And in many ways, that sort of creates a sort of sense of, at least around this issue, sort of hopelessness, because it's like, this is going to happen and it's going to take however long it takes to play out, and then we're still going to be back at the same situation with no real peace in sight, and that is probably the greatest tragedy of the whole situation. This is Fun Drive time here at CJSF Radio. Once a year we look to you, our listeners, to support the radio station with a financial donation. It costs a lot of money to run the radio station. Our budget is about $250,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but it really isn't that much to run an organization like this throughout the year. And in many ways, if we had more resources, we could do many more things and improve a lot of our programming. And that's where you can step in and help out. We're here 365 days a year creating and bringing you interesting, unique, and diverse programming that you don't really find anywhere else. Some of what we bring in from other producers and other stations and our compatriots in community radio across Canada. But much of it is created right here by our programmers who are volunteers and come to the radio station every week creating programs because they love it and because they feel they have something to offer and that they can bring you something that you are going to enjoy and find worthwhile and valuable. And if you agree with that, if you find the programming here something you enjoy that you tune into to listen to music or to hear issues discussed on programs like this or the one that was before us this hour, Guerrilla Radio or Democracy Now!, which airs every Monday to Friday at 10 a.m., brought to you by CJSF, or programs like Intravenous or Speak Up, Act Up, Act Upon, programs created here at CJSF, or The Arts Show on Thursday evenings at 5, talking to local artists and bringing you information about local arts events and helping you stay in touch with the community, whether it's any of the many, many music shows we have, bringing you underground, independent, local Canadian music and supporting those scenes in a myriad of ways. If any of this resonates with you sitting at home, enjoying this program or enjoying any of those programs, I hope you'll go to your computer and make a donation. It's www.cjsf.ca/donate. We have a very easy-to-use donation form. You can choose the amount you would like to give and make that donation, and boom, it's done. And we will be very, very grateful when you decide to do that. You can give any amount, really, but it really makes a difference to give a meaningful amount, so $35 or $70. Or if that's where you are in your life, a larger amount, $100 or $250 or even $500. Those amounts make a huge difference. We're going to be doing things like improving our broadcast signal by replacing our broadcast tower this winter, probably. It's going to happen. The timetable is not exactly nailed down because we're in the middle of a process of getting permits and other stuff from the city of Burnaby. But as soon as we're able to do that, we're going to be replacing that tower. And that's going to allow us to make a bunch of needed improvements to our antenna and our power output and our signal quality. So that's something that by supporting the station comes right back to you as a listener through better listening and a better signal. We've got a brand new smartphone app, which is another way you can listen. We just launched it about a month and a half ago. You can find it by going to the App Store or Google Play Store and just search for CJSF or CJSF Radio. It comes up right as the first item. And download it, and you can listen just by a quick tap of a button on your phone. It's got all the programming information. And we really want to be adding more features to that app, so you can make it even easier to tune in and listen to CJSF. We're going to be adding the ability to add past programs and other great features. It's a great app already. It looks really nice, really slick. And that's something that your contribution to CJSF helps support, helps make happen. And it's something that sort of comes back to benefit you as the listener. More than anything, your donation supports the programming here at CJSF and the programmers. It's always so much to do, replacing equipment, modernizing equipment, upgrading everything from our website to our studios, all of which costs a lot of money, all of which takes a lot of resources, which we're almost always strained for. And so your donation can make a big difference there. Go to your computer, cjsf.ca/donate, or you can call here in the studio and I'll take your donation. Make a difference and support community radio here at in Vancouver. All right, let's move on. Next up is one of our favorite segments of each program. This is Bird Note. And personally, I always enjoy this. I think I love these little segments and the little bits of information that they give us. Interesting and kind of unusual, and who knew that stuff sometimes? So here we go.
This is Bird Note. There's more than one way to climb a tree. No bird is better adapted for climbing up a tree trunk than a woodpecker. Its foot design is ideal for clinging, with two toes pointing forward and two back. Relatively short legs mean it can anchor itself securely, and the spiky central feathers in its long, stiff tail dig into the bark, bracing the bird against the tree while climbing. So when traveling upward, the woodpecker's a master. Hitching down, not so much. Usually they'll fly. Nuthatches are also expert climbers, but they can easily go up and down. A nuthatch's tail is shorter than a woodpecker's, but its legs are longer and very strong. It walks over the bark by grasping with one leg while using the other for a prop. And it has a rear-facing toe equipped with a long, sharp claw that's ideal for hanging on while heading downward. One way these different climbing adaptations play out: primarily, nuthatches search for insects in the crevices of bark while climbing down, while woodpeckers forage as they climb up. So, one sees prey that the other doesn't. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
All right, Bird Note here on CJSF and Speak Up. I wanted to revisit an interview we did earlier this year, a community-focused interview about the project Burnaby, the city of Burnaby has launched to look at and investigate the history of racism and discriminatory policies directed at the Chinese community within the city of Burnaby, going back in history. We often hear about things like the Chinese Exclusion Act and other things put in place at the federal and provincial level, but cities were often just as complicit in putting forth these policies. And Burnaby wants to take a hard look at its own history and expose that history towards the goal of creating an apology to the Chinese community. And I talked to Councillor Richard Lee last fall about this issue. And here's our interview with him and Burnaby staff. Joining me today is Richard Lee, councillor for the City of Burnaby, and Lisa Codd, who's part of Burnaby staff. And we're here to talk about a project the city is undertaking to issue an apology to its Chinese Canadian community over past policies and laws that the city of Burnaby enacted in the past century that were quite discriminatory. Perhaps we can start up. You can tell me what was the genesis of this project and why now?
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to answer that question. The city for quite a number of years now, starting mainly around 2017, has been actively researching Chinese Canadian history in Burnaby and sharing that information with the public. And part of that research surfaced past discriminatory policies and practices of our local government in Burnaby. And as a result, a community group, the Burnaby Intercultural Planning Table, in cooperation with the Coalition Against Racism, contacted our municipal council and suggested that we undertake a process like this. Council was very supportive of that suggestion, and so we're proceeding.
Right. So the whole project is about more than just an apology. There's an effort to do research and compile the history of these policies and but also to engage the community in the discussion. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I think it's important when you're apologizing to someone that you are also connecting to ensure that apology is meaningful and that actions are taken in support of the apology. Similar apology processes at the City of Vancouver and New Westminster as well have included community engagement work to consult with the community, raise awareness of the issues, and also to identify legacy actions such as commemoration project that can support ongoing engagement with the community.
So what kind of policies, what kind of things have been discovered through this process? I've heard about some of them and they're kind of eye-opening in some cases.
Yeah, and there's still research to do. I think we're in our preliminary stage with our research, but there's a number of ways that as a local government, Burnaby discriminated against people of Asian descent. So some of those included joining advocacy efforts of other municipalities to try to exclude Asian immigration, for example. And some of those other actions targeted Chinese businesses. So bylaws that restricted trade licenses for greengrocers and piggery operators, which were a couple of the common businesses that Chinese Canadians had in the early part of the 20th century. And we also are the fourth bylaw. So this was a priority of Burnaby's early municipal council. The fourth bylaw enacted by Burnaby restricted employment of Asian Canadians by the local government or by anyone contracting services to the local government. And that bylaw remained in effect until 1953.
Yeah, I read another story about a bylaw that was proposed by a Vancouver-based chapter of the KKK and then adopted, well, maybe not a bylaw, but a policy adopted by Burnaby and I presume other municipalities in the area.
Yeah, so sometimes groups like the KKK advocated for discriminatory policies, and they would write to various levels of government and ask them to endorse their efforts. And yeah, our council did endorse those efforts. If I'm remembering them right, that was an effort to exclude Asian immigration.
It's interesting because we've heard a lot over the number of years about the policies put forth at the national and the provincial level, it's really interesting to see these similar things coming, having happened at the municipal level. I guess in many ways, it's not really surprising, but it really is interesting to see what was going on. And I think one of the things about municipal governments that they have, in many cases, so many more points of contact with their citizens on even a daily basis, that these kind of policies put in at the municipal level can be in many ways more impactful.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Councillor Lee could definitely speak to sort of the layers of discrimination by all levels of government that took place in the past.
Thank you. As you know, and many people know, that the federal government naturally had the Chinese Exclusion Act in that level. So from early, probably 1885 to 1923, the head tax was imposed to the Chinese community at that time. And actually, my grandfather paid for the head tax in 1913 to get into Canada as a farmer. So at that time, the head tax was imposed starting from $50 and increasingly quickly increased to 100, and then went up to $500. I heard that at that time, $500, you can buy two building lots in Chinatown, Vancouver. Yeah. So that's a lot of money to pay back. So I think over the years, this kind of discriminatory policy had been redressed in the federal level in the 2007. And then provincially, we also did a recognition 2013-14 in that period, so that those discriminatory laws in the province level, we take out quite a few of those injustice law in the legislature in DC, and then redress that. We also just heard that, Vancouver, of course, had redressed that, and New West did that as well. So I think this is a time between Vancouver and New West, Burnaby. We are going to do something on that front. So I'm very pleased to hear that. This is one page of a dark history in Canadian history. We would like to see what kind of laws and bylaws in the city level that had been passed or implemented. So I think this is a good way, as 100 years of the Chinese Exclusion Act, because after 1923, the city, the whole country actually implemented that federal law to ban actually immigration for the ordinary Chinese to come to Canada. So to 1923 until 1947, after the Second World War, that because of the Chinese veterans, their contribution to defending Canada's value, as well as went to the war for Canada, that the Canadian government actually saying that now you can vote, you can have Canadian citizenship, that kind of thing. So I think for 100 years, I think this is a day that we should commemorate and see that those unjust, these discriminatory laws won't see the lights again in the future.
So, I mean, what does it feel like to you personally as a member of the Chinese community to learn about these kind of policies enacted by the city you now represent on council?
Yeah, the KKK resolution passed by the council, endorsement by the council at that time. That was the first, I mean, I just heard about that a few months ago. So those are new to me. And I think some of those histories we need to learn more as a community to see what kind of actually bylaws will pass as a city. So I think it would be interesting that our next generation will learn about the history and also the community itself. We see that now we are really fortunate to live in a harmonious society. We should treasure our position, our daily life, and also the rights and freedom in this great Canadian society.
Have you heard from members of the community in response to this initiative?
It's from the newspaper, the Chinese Canadian newspaper. They also publish news about this initiative from Burnaby. They are very supportive. I believe also there are some people would like to be sitting in the committee as well to see how they can contribute to this process. We learned that Burnaby also will be publishing a book about Chinese Canadians in the city, and the community is really positive on seeing the result of that book, the contents, etc. So I think thanks to the city staff and the council, and they look into this issue and very supportive of these initiatives.
In many ways, all these bylaws and policies and regulations enacted by the city and the other level governments must have really only been, in many ways, the tip of the iceberg, because when all the levels of government are putting in these kinds of policies and whatnot, that must really have emboldened individuals and even, people working for the city to express and act on their racist attitudes. So you mentioned it, a dark period in history. It spreads out and becomes bigger than just a matter of policy and bylaw. So what's the timeline for the completion of the project?
We will be going out to consult with the community in the fall and also in 2024, and we're expecting the formal apology in 2025. It's important to take the time to do the consultation and that engagement with the community. And some of this information is a surprise to members of the community. So I think we need to take the time to be able to get the word out about what happened and what is happening.
When it is offered, what will the apology look like? Will there be a public ceremony, or has that been determined yet?
That is something we'll work with the community on. I think every community will have its own desire of what they want that apology to look like, in terms of the level of formality, the languages that it needs to be delivered in, the place where it might be delivered in. So there's still a lot that we want to work out, but we want to make sure that we're engaging with the community to make those decisions.
And will there be any lasting legacy or a public display or memorial?
So that also is something that will come out of the consultation to find out what those legacy projects might look like. Although, I mean, the city, as Councillor Lee mentioned, has taken on a number of projects to commemorate Chinese Canadian history in Burnaby, including a book that will be published later this year. And I think it's just important to remember that though we're talking about this incredible web of racism and discriminatory policies from all levels of government, including several local governments, that there's also these stories of incredible resilience of the Chinese Canadian community members. So we want to make sure we're also telling those stories of resilience and the way that community members contributed. And in Burnaby, a lot of that contribution was growing food. Chinese Canadian farmers grew, despite restrictions on land ownership, were able to farm an incredible amount of food that fed the region. Actually, yeah, and Councillor Lee's family was a farm family as well.
Yeah, actually, the Leung's family, they still operate in the South Burnaby. So the Leung's family, they had a market garden in the Musqueam land, reserve land, near Dunbar and Marine Drive. My grandfather actually farmed in that Musqueam reserve land for almost 30 years as a partner in a market garden. And so they leased the land from the First Nations and with a partner. And one time, they are over, I think, 20 market gardeners in that area. So I heard many stories about the market gardeners. Larry Grant, senior elder in that community, told me a lot of stories, and including he was playing in the Hong Kong Garden, the Market Garden, and then that's an interaction with my grandfather. So I think that's some of the stories to tell. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I think this is a really important project, and as we've seen from what has come forth so far, there's a lot of stuff that people did not know about, and it's important to shine a light on those things, and it's really great to see Burnaby doing this. Thank you for joining me today, Lisa Codd, with the City of Vancouver, and Richard Lee, Councillor, with the City of Burnaby.
All right, thank
Lisa
you.
Lisa Codd and Richard Lee, Councillor with the City of Burnaby, both with the City of Burnaby. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was an interview from last spring, a community-focused interview. We try and do as much of that kind of reporting here at CJSF as we can, talking about our local communities and things that are happening in our region. It's one of the things community radio is about. Coming up in less than 2 minutes is Democracy Now! We have been bringing you Democracy Now! Every morning, every weekday morning at 11 a.m. For now, it's almost 20 years. Such an important source of information about events going on in the world. It is a unique program that has access to guests and experts and brings a very different perspective than you're going to find on almost any of the other media outlets available in our area. And we are very proud to bring it to you and make those that kind of reporting available to you. And that's why I'm asking you to go to your computer or go to your phone and make a donation to CJSF Radio's Fund Drive 2023. Any amount is good, but $50, $70, $100, we would love to get your support for Fund Drive this year. It's so important. And we really can't do radio, the radio we do without you. There are so many pressures, financial and otherwise, on community media these days. And your support, both financially and sort of morally, means a lot to us. So I hope you will take that action, support community media, support CJSF Radio, We've been here for 20 years, providing awesome community radio, and we want to be here for another 20 years and beyond, and your support can make that happen. www.cjsf.ca/donate